And welcome back to Cinema Vino. This is our mailbag and a movie Monday. We're a little bit late for this one, but we're going to get it out under the wire.
Whoop.
As we do.
Mailbag late Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, so we can't say anything bad during it. All right. I gotcha.
Mailbag after dark.
Mailbag after Monday. Dark.
You didn't play the sound, did you?
We'll do it on the outro.
We'll get there.
Line sack of shit.
We got Travis Budd.
Yo-hoy.
Sean Jordan.
Hey.
And my name is Todd.
And allegedly.
We're going to drink a little Prosecco. I had big plans to time travel thing to do, like wines you can age. Everything you can age is going to be red, mostly. And it's like 100 degrees for the last few weeks here. We had a little bit of a break in the last couple of days, but it's been so miserable. I decided to do stuff that in summertime you can drink cold. So we're doing the Sparkle Prosecco Rosé from Italy. It's a Brut Rosé. It's going to be pretty dry. Pretty refreshing.
Which Proseccos aren't typically associated with being dry, right?
12%.
The default Prosecco is extra dry, which extra dry is not going to be bone dry. It's going to be on the drier side.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's like when you pull your laundry out and it's like it was towels, so it's a little bit damp.
Yeah, exactly. Scale of 1 to 10, if 1 is absolute bone dry, I mean, I would say most Proseccos are around a 3, 3.5.
Okay.
So, the drier side, but not crazy. This one is definitely on the drier side. I mean, I would say I put this about a 3 on the dry scale. 10 is like sticky, Asti, Spumante, Moscato, sweet. So this is about a 3, 3.5.
I'm sipping a beer thinking it's Prosecco. I've already finished the Prosecco.
Yeah, we finished that bottle. We're already a little bit activated. And then, yeah, we're doing the Odell Brewing Hazer Tag, Hazy IPA.
Hazer Tag.
And it's great. I mean, it's your classic Hazy IPA. And you look at it, I mean, it is thick. It's got a great texture, nice citrusy, kind of orange peel.
The art on the can is delightful.
Yeah.
Crazy spaceman with a laser gun.
And yeah, for a hazy IPA, it's like you say, pretty sessionable, pretty easy drinking. Mm-hmm. You know, I like it.
Kind of reminds 7%. Me of like Ender's Game.
Yeah. It definitely has kind of that sci-fi. Like,
you know, that's
the enemy is down
that grew on me after, like, I watched it the first time. I was like, not for me.
Harrison Ford. The movie?
Yeah.
Did you ever read the book?
I did not.
Is that Orson Scott Card.
Yeah. Who is
kind of a racist fuck?
Kind of a racist fuck. He's real problematic.
Yeah.
But the book's great. I love Ender's Game.
How many?
There's a lot. There's quite a few. But really, you just need to read like the first one or two.
Yeah. It's like Dune.
No, you need to read all the Dune. All of the Dune.
You can't read enough Dune.
I cannot recommend Dune enough.
Dune.
Children of Dune. God Emperor of Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Dune Messiah.
Return to the Planet of Dune.
Right. Dune 5, Electric Boogaloo.
Escape from the Planet of Dune.
Yeah.
But you start off, Dune in space is the default, so you don't really have anywhere to go.
Mm. Yeah.
So usually you end up in space around movie 10.
Mm-hmm.
The spice must flow.
So for our mailbag, we're going to answer a question. And also talk about the passing of Nichelle Nichols, which kind of ties into it. You know, she played Uhura on the original Star Trek. Passed away recently, just short of her 90th birthday.
Oh.
Groundbreaking role. First major series regular for a black actress.
Mm-hmm.
So
a lot of groundbreaking.
She both lived long and prospered.
Yeah.
It's true.
Exactly. Which coincides
with
the passing of Bill Russell, who was the first like black superstar basketball player. So around the same time,
yeah,
and they were both at the peak of their
fame. He had what, 11 rings
as a player, and then like at least 2 more as a coach. Crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was because I don't sport, but also the TGRI guy.
From, he ran out Ninja of
Turtles too.
Oh yeah,
I can't remember his.
Just a sad day all around.
Yeah.
So yeah, but Nichelle Nichols. I mean, she actually inspired Whoopi Goldberg to become an actress, and Mae Jemison to be the first black woman in space.
Mm-hmm.
So with
first interracial kiss as well,
yeah.
On TV,
Captain Kirk,
yeah,
which alarmed the censors.
Mm-hmm. But actually, they said later that most of the feedback they got was positive about it. So, kind of let you know it was that first thing of like you could do that, and you know, mm-hmm. it lets you know how people respond.
People talk a lot of shit about trying to say that Star Wars is woke now, but clearly they
Star
never
Wars has always been woke.
Yeah, they never watched the original series or and the Next Generation.
Science fiction
or
as any, a whole, yeah. It's pretty. I hate
true. Big old dumpster fucks.
I hate how that word's been co-opted in a negative way. But
what, science fiction or woke?
Woke. You know, it's like it's been turned into a negative thing. But
empathy for other people?
Yeah.
What assholes?
Yeah.
Bunch of rubes.
I mean, you know, science fiction has always been diverse. I mean, to me, Nichelle Nichols was the ultimate example of Gene Roddenberry's desire to have a diverse, you know, cast. She was like, she was in fourth in command of the ship. I mean, this is during the civil rights era. You know, she was supposed to be like higher ranking.
Well, and Star Trek has always been about like an idyllic society. Like we've surpassed all issues of the human race. Like we've gone beyond, we've transcended. Mm-hmm. Like if you were to have a, you know, transcendent human race and it not be a multicultural crew, like,
yeah. Well, and didn't you say that Gene Roddenberry said they were like, no, there's going to be no lawyers in the future. There's like, yeah. Everybody's going to get along just famous. And you're like, dude, we need a little plot every once in a while.
That was the Measure of a Man episode.
With Data?
Where Data is put on trial for his like sentience. And that was actually the episode I saw the writer of that. She was giving a talk somewhere. And she's a lawyer and as by trade, but she wrote that episode because Star Trek had the policy of anybody can send anything in and we will read it. And, you know, it may get passed around the writer's room and sharpened up or focused or changed, but, you know, we welcome all submissions. And so that's how Next Generation was. That's how they found a lot of the writers. She sent something in.
Have they considered an episode where someone is stuck on an island and all they have to eat is an omelet bar that continuously refills?
Full buffet.
Yeah, we will circle back around to that. We had a very bizarre conversation before we recorded, and we will come back around to that about an omelet bar.
I think it was
fine.
I don't think it was crazy bizarre at all. Like, look, I just give you a scenario.
With a cook who's apparently taken the Hippocratic Oath and is throwing raw meat.
The food service industry equivalent of a Hippocratic Oath of doing no harm.
The Hippocratic Oath? So, Uhura.
R.I.P. Yeah. Apparently Martin Luther King's favorite show was Star Trek. He told her that before he passed away.
And passed away is a strong phrase.
Before he was killed.
Yeah. Yes.
Fascinated.
He told her that she was going to leave the role for Broadway and take a part, and he told her not to because it was too important, too groundbreaking, and so she stuck with it. And then she was on it for 6 movies and an animated series in the 70s. So she was with that for almost 30 years. So it kind of ties into our question that we got via Instagram. with all the actors passing away lately, including her, James Caan, Paul Sorvino, Ray Liotta, all mob actors, all Godfather / Goodfellas actors.
Wait, do you think they were all whacked?
Man, yeah. During a big montage scene, you know.
As someone is taking like an oath,
I would whack them off.
I mean, it's like, every time I hear now Eric Clapton's Layla, the piano part of that, I think about Goodfellas. With
getting chased by a helicopter?
And like all the guys are like, you know, they find them in like the garbage truck or like in the meat locker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like all the guys are dead. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, we were Goodfellas. You know, it's like that song has been forever like, I don't want to say tainted, but affected by Goodfellas. Like I think about like dudes getting whacked.
Yeah.
But with all those guys passing away, it's like, is there a death? Could be anybody, anytime, celebrity wise, that hits you as the end of an era. Like you felt like an era was over. So, we'll start with Trav.
So, I had two, and I know we're CinemaVino, but both the ones I was thinking of were musicians. And, you know, I'm not going to leave you baby birding it. Michael Jackson and David Bowie.
Yeah.
David Bowie was mine.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Michael Jackson, I was, like, going to some class and sitting down, and everybody's like, oh, my God. And it was one of those classes where nobody fucking talked to each other. We didn't like each other. But the only time everybody was like, what? What? Yeah. And, like, the first thing I heard was like, oh, my God, did you hear the Michael Jackson die? And I was like, fuck. Yeah. And so I also hated these people, but I was listening to all of their conversations. I'm like, all right, I'll listen to this. What's going on? And, you know, looked it up later. I was like, geez, like, that, you know, very troubled individual, possibly crazy child tickler, whatever, like great musician. So maybe not the greatest person. I have no idea, but also, Bowie. But yeah, I was a huge Michael Jackson fan growing up. Well, obviously I loved Thriller.
So, my girlfriend dislocated her shoulder about a month ago and we were in the hospital. They had to put her on propofol to sedate her, basically like pop it back in because it's a very painful procedure.
Yeah.
And before they gave her propofol, they were just like, oh, by the way, did you know this is what killed Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
And then they were like, weird. And there she goes under.
All right.
And then as we were getting discharged, the nurse was like, oh, looks like they gave you propofol. You know, that's what they killed Michael Jackson? It's like, what is with you people?
Yeah.
She's like, I survived propofol. Yeah. Michael Jackson didn't.
That reminds me of like, shirt. You know, I'm afraid to fly. And flight attendants can always pick that up. And we're, you know, flying into New York. We're circling around Newark Airport. And this flight attendant, I'm at the very front of the plane in a single seat, this puddle jumper. She sits in a single seat across the aisle. And, you know, she's like, you're afraid to fly, right? I was like, yeah. She's like, I can tell.
And puddle jumpers are rough. Those things move a lot.
And we're circling through the clouds. So it's, like, bumpy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the Indiana Jones. Like, you're riding, like, a cargo plane full of chickens kind of thing. It's like you're just constantly, like, just jolted.
Did you grab your dick?
No, that would have been a much different story.
Not that kind of flight attendant.
And so she's like, you know, don't worry. We're flying through clouds. Flying through clouds is like pea soup. You know, the plane can handle it. It's fine. You know, it's built to handle this kind of stuff, you know. And so you don't have anything to worry about. And I was like, well, that's great, you know. And she's like, besides, they're going to have to let us land soon because we're about to run out of fuel. And it's like, what?
I'm sorry. And then she just got up and bye.
Yeah, and then she just goes on to collect, like, you know, peanut wrappers and, like, cups. And it's like, what? You were about to what?
She knew exactly what she's doing.
It's like, so, yeah, she sat down and kind of fucked with me for a minute and got up and left. So, yeah.
So, David Bowie.
So, yeah, sorry.
Thriller. David Bowie's Thriller. No, I always loved the Thriller every, you know, Halloween when MTV would finally show some fucking music videos. But, you know, it scared me as a kid, but I loved it at the same time. But there were so many Michael Jackson moments that he was part of my life the whole time. And then as soon as he was gone, I was like, man, he got weird. And then he left, which is what I would want, the stamp I want to put.
Yeah.
I want to leave behind.
He got really weird. And then
he got really weird and then died.
Yeah.
If Travis has ever come to one of your parties, it's just, he got really weird. Then he left.
Then he's Irish goodbye. Yeah.
But Bowie, I was never a huge fan of Bowie. Like, I was always like, oh, yeah, I need to listen to, like, more of his, like, single albums rather than just hearing whatever was on the radio. And it wasn't until, I guess, he died that I started buying the albums. I'm like, well, I fucked this up.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn, there's so many other, like, you know, B-sides that aren't played on the radio. And I was like, I fucking love these. There's, like, 4, 5, 6 albums that I have that I'm like, this is fucking great. Like, yeah. I wish I had seen him live. I always fuck it up too soon. Is that all of the musicians that I really like aren't alive or people that I can go see and watch. And Bowie was one of those. And I was like, well, I fucked this up. Like, I watched Labyrinth, all those, and it just felt
He's an actor too.
Yeah. Yeah. That was weird. You have more. Well, you probably have better Bowie stories.
He's always been like a performer, right? I mean, he was really instrumental in the 80s, 70s. Just like
phenomenal. I mean,
just,
you know, like any great artist, he has different periods of his time where it's like he's like the Ziggy Stardust, and then he's like, you know, he had like what they call the Thin White Duke, where he's like, you know, is kind of his cocaine period, but you know, he gets into like German,
he gets into like the occult.
Yeah.
Like he was really, just like a transformative. He kind of touched a lot of different big names. Like he was really good friends with like, Iggy Pop. He was good friends with,
Lou Reed, the Velvet Underground, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
Freddie Mercury.
Steve Ray Vaughan, actually, believe it or not.
Yeah. R.I.P. Yeah.
I recently saw that. I had read some Sandman, but there were a lot of that Neil Gaiman's Sandman where it's the character Lucifer. Is clearly based on David Bowie. There's like some, I think they used even photographic references to draw Lucifer Morningstar, good old Satan, in that from him. And then also the Joker from Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns, where Batman's an old, grizzled, you know, 67-year-old dude and is kind of coming out of retirement. Joker in that series, which is very popular, was drawn like he was David Bowie.
And I'd heard that Tim Burton had thought about him for the Joker in the Michael Keaton.
He would be incredible.
Which I think that would have been a great Joker.
But, I think I even saw Neil Gaiman tweet, like, earlier this week, something about, someone tweeted something about, like, oh, well, you know, like, yeah, how can you do a, you know, how can you do a Sandman without having David Bowie as Lucifer? And Neil Gaiman was basically like, yeah, well, he's dead. So
6 years
what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. Like
2016?
Yeah.
Like, yes, we based it off of.
So we went Gwendolyn Christie Bowie, instead. Like,
yeah, Gwendolyn Christie's a great cast. That's a great casting choice for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to see that when that comes out later this week.
August 5th.
Yeah. So Sean, who was your?
George Carlin.
Yeah.
Ooh, I felt like George Carlin was like a big, like when he passed, like it just felt like the end of an era, like the end of like that sort of wave of comedy and acting and just his kind of brand on the world. He was like a kind of a shining star that just sort of, when that went out, is like the world's a little bit darker.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's kind of the end of like the comedy as like the counterculture.
Yeah. That's counterculture sort
of
comedy.
The Lenny Bruce. Yeah. That's it's like, you know, comedy almost as an instrument of social commentary, you know, and it's like you get taste of that with like Jon Stewart, you know, in his Daily Show Prime, where you could like get people like Tucker Carlson kicked off the air, you know, which was
on
beautiful.
On Hardball.
Yeah.
The other one was Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking that when you.
When Robin Williams died, it was like that was, you know, our childhood. That was devastating. He was just such an instrumental part of the culture and just such a big piece of like our, you know, movie culture.
Yeah.
Jumanji. He was Peter Pan and Hook.
Aladdin.
Yeah.
I mean, his work as Genie was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he's somebody that's multiple fronts. I mean, you think about like the Mork and Minnie, like the TV aspect of it.
Yeah.
Movies, also stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm. You know, he was Batty in Ferngully, which again, one of my favorite roles of his. No fucking around. Like I always liked that one. And Mrs. Doubtfire.
Jesus.
Yeah.
He was supposedly one of Johnny Carson's favorite guests. Like Johnny Carson would just block out time for him to just go and just do whatever.
Yeah.
As a man with a lot of chest hair, like it's good to have idols.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So now we have to have a picture of Sean's chest hair for these Instagram posts.
It is wonderful.
It's just like me, times. Robin Williams, Sean Connery, you know.
But Robin Williams,
we're tufty men.
Is the one that made me realize that like that comedians make the best dramatic actors because of
Good Will Hunting.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That one scene of his made the entire movie for me. I was like, this is fucking golden.
I mean, it's tough for me to pick somebody.
Good stuff.
It's not your fault.
She used to fart in her sleep. Wake yourself up.
Which I think was improv, that whole thing.
Yeah.
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 Now you can see, like, the camera guy, like, shaking from laughing so hard. It's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. I mean, my first people that I think of, I'm like you guys, where it's musical. You know, it's like George Harrison was to me, because I was a year old when John Lennon passed away, and I don't remember. But, you know, George Harrison, it's like that's like the real idea of like a Beatle dying. It's like that's huge, you know. And so it's like that's another link to that era gone.
Well, and especially not to die of like natural causes, but to be straight up assassinated.
Yeah. I mean, it's like for John and then George, basically the same idea. I mean, it's like his health took a downward turn when he was attacked in his house. And
was it the same year that Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, and Jim Morrison all died? Or were they at the same age? They were 27 or 28?
Kurt Cobain, yeah.
They weren't at the same same year, 70 or whatever.
But they were within probably 18 months of each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know there was, I'm like, I'm just thinking of people during that time where those three died back to back to back.
Yeah.
Like, are you thinking of the day the music died?
That's another good one.
Yeah.
But that other one would have been more impactful.
And it's like, those are different to me because those are people in their prime, like cut down at the peak of their fame.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's like you look at somebody like George Harrison or David Bowie, not that they weren't doing great stuff then, but it's like they make you think of the past and like what they did.
Yeah.
You know, and how much they did.
They were icons of another era.
At their peak. Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, too. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the same longevity, like, you know, legendary icon status of Robin Williams. I mean, it's not a competition, but I didn't think of him so much.
Twister at the right moment, you can see his ball sack.
I know Todd has told me that mm-hmm. several times. I know Todd wasted more than one evening trying to Google that.
I've read it, and I believe
Seymour Hoffman's ball sack.
I've read it on Reddit.
Yeah, and then he was like, maybe it wasn't the full copy ball somewhere. Sack. Maybe it was just his taint.
Yeah.
The next night was all taint. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Movie-wise, this would be a weird answer, but I thought about, in the last year or two, an actress named Olivia de Havilland. She was in one of the leads in Gone with the Wind. She played Melanie, and so she was one of the four main stars. And so she died in 2020, actually. She was 104.
Wow.
Jeez. And I thought about that. Like, she was one of the last links to that, like, time period of, like, great American films. You know, it's like now that's, like, truly gone, you know. It's like how they had a big article about the last living Titanic survivor passed away. It's like now nobody remembers what it was like to actually, like, be on the Titanic.
I know. I've seen a movie. It seemed pretty accurate.
Yeah. And you definitely like get
they don't know about balancing.
Yeah, you definitely get a sense that DiCaprio and Winslet could both fit on that debris.
Yes.
That's just a fact.
Yes.
It's a movie that I don't want to podcast on anymore.
She killed him. She killed him.
Yeah.
He spent all that time getting her the sweet dresser, the door, whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, and kept pushing him off.
And then she just throws the necklace.
The story she told. She's an unreliable fucking narrator.
Exactly.
True story.
She's like, oh, I got the crystal at the end, and, you know, we just both couldn't fit on it. No. She held his head underwater.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It's been 84 years. He was already
100%.
Yeah. But, yeah, I thought about her passing away. It's like that's one of the last links to, like, the kind of that era of, like, The Wizard of Oz and all those, like, classic movies. It's like, you know, I used to keep track of, like, how many people of The Wizard of Oz were still alive and yada yada. It's like,
that's a weird thing to keep track of.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I think about that, like, you know, because it feels like then that movie is still kind of current in a way. You know, it's like Mary Poppins. It's like Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke are both still alive. So it makes it feel more recent. You know, when they pass away, it makes the movie feel like
an artifact. Dick Van Dyke have, like, a very, very young wife?
I mean, he might. I'm not sure. I haven't checked.
Okay.
I know that he was in the sequel and was dancing around at 96.
Uh-huh.
I know he has a very, very thick wiener.
He's no LBJ.
All right. Fair enough. But yeah, that's what I got. But this has been another episode of Cinemafino.
Yes, it has, technically.
We've had Travis and Sean.
Yep.
My name is Todd. And we will see you guys next week. Not with a bang, but probably with a whimper, wherever Travis just went.
A little whimper.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.